The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm very excited about today's program on anger management in the family. I have a couple of announcements to make first. First is I just had some exciting deliveries today because the new copy of the second edition of my third parenting book, Adult Children Raising Children, about how to avoid codependency without being perfect yourself, is now in its second edition, and it's available. Also, my husband's new book, America's First Entrepreneur. He just got his first copies today in the same delivery. It was very exciting. It's a great book. It's available right now on Amazon and Kindle and Nook and so on. Also, in October, we have 26,531 listeners, and every one of them counts. And we're accepting new sponsors for the show for Family First. So I'm really thankful so many of you are listening, and I really appreciate it. And it's so important to get out the importance of family. So today we're going to be talking about anger management in the family. And in the holidays, things can get a little hectic. People get frustrated. So it's a good topic for now, but it can come up almost any time. So what do we do when we get angry? What do we do when people are angry with us? Is it okay to get angry at our children? Do our children get angry with us? Yes. Daily headlines reveal how people can reach their limit of tolerance in these stressful times and lash out at each other without knowing what to do instead. Is there a way to back down from destructive words and behavior without being disempowered by suppressing righteous anger? My guest this week is Carol Lee Risk. She's helped thousands of people over the last 25 years to learn how to be aware of their anger, accept its power, and use that energy to their benefit and the good of their family. She is Director of Development Associates and offers multifaceted training programs to help individuals and families deal with the most important challenges in life. She focuses on overcoming limiting beliefs, improving communication tools, handling difficult people, building self-esteem, overcoming fear, and exploring the positive side of anger. Carol Lee Risk is a well-known educator, columnist, and speaker committed to people discovering what she calls their amazing self. She's designed hundreds of inspiring confidence-building courses for people of all ages, all backgrounds, and situations. She's committed to education as the source of personal growth, and she activates individual power, positive energy, and a new understanding of human behavior for her thousands of students. Carol Lee Risk has worked with students in academic institutions, the criminal justice system, and businesses. She has 18 years of drug and alcohol experience conducting individual counseling and group processes. Her education includes her degree in education from Westchester University here in Pennsylvania, drug and alcohol certification from Villanova University, and communication certification from Penn State. She's a founder of the Women's Resource Center of Chester County, one of the first of its kind, and her techniques in behavior change are recognized as leading tools by the Pennsylvania State Department of Education. So I'm so happy to have you as my guest today, Carol Lee.
Thanks, Randy. I'm so happy to be here. What a great opportunity. And congratulations on your success with your new publication and your husband's publication. That's exciting.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Carol Lee. You've been working with empowering people for over 25 years in all kinds of situations and from all kinds of backgrounds. What first got you interested in this field?
Well, you know, I have to lay it on my own lap, and I have to say that my family and me, I wasn't happy with the way I was handling myself. Excuse me. I wasn't happy with the way the direction that my family was going in. My children were small. I taught school every day, came home to small children. My husband was in sales, so he traveled. So if there was a disagreement in the family, oh, well, my husband needed to go out of town. And there I was, sitting home, thinking and rethinking. And I knew it wasn't working. So I had to evaluate how I was handling myself, looking at my process, how could I do things differently, how could I help my children handle their situations, and really that's what brought it home for me. And I started investigating and found out that there was very little out there on anger and fear, and self-esteem was just beginning to come into the picture.
That's a powerful story, and there's nothing like personal experience to motivate investigation and change. That's really neat. So what inspired you to focus more on helping people understand the powerful emotion of anger?
Well, I figured if I didn't understand it, then there had to be thousands of people out there not understanding it. And when I spoke to my friends, a couple of them said, I had a wonderful mother and father. They never got angry, and that sent up a red flag for me. And then someone else would say, I had a wonderful mother and father. They just yelled and screamed and told us what was wrong, and I thought, I'm not sure that I like that either. Mm-hmm. So I started discovering ways that I could empower myself and empower the parents in a family situation, because, Randy, it all starts with us. It's how we handle us. Anger, self-esteem, fear, it's an inside job, meaning it all happens inside of us, and then we do one of two things. We either blame other people for our predicament, or we blame ourselves. And when we go inside and blame ourselves, we usually cause a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety. And when we go out of ourselves, there's aggressive anger to the extreme where there will be murder. And the opposite extreme, when we go inside of us, is suicide. And in between all of that, there's a myriad of other behaviors that we do to ourselves. The teenage cutting, the isolation, criticizing other people. Nobody is ever good enough for us. We set ourselves up as the person of perfection, and no one measures up. And so I just started looking at all of that. And developing, because my background is education, I developed some little classes, and I worked with a few psychologists who had already been working on assertive techniques. And I started going out into the world, and I started with YWCAs and doing the courses. And I saw that they worked, and people started feeling better. And so I just built from there.
Oh, that's great. Oh, you've helped so many people. So
I like to hope so.
So you basically teach a different way from blaming others and blaming yourself. What do you think are the major situations in which families have to deal with anger today?
Well, you know, everybody is so frustrated and stressed. And frustration is the beginning of anger. It's the first rung on the ladder of anger. Excuse me. And stress is so omnipotent today. Every place you look, people don't have enough money. Families are not staying together. There's so much to handle. And so, again, we have to look at ourselves. What am I saying to myself? Stress comes internally, the way we talk to ourselves in our head, and it also comes external. There's very little that we can do to handle the external stress. The traffic is always going to be there. Our bosses are always going to want more work from us. Our children are always going to want something else. The only part of stress, anger, fear, power that we can handle is what goes on inside.
That makes so much sense. So what kind of things trigger a child or a parent to lash out at the other?
Well, I think that fear and anger are very close. And I think most times, and I have seen it, while most times people are making fears worse than they really are. They're taking an irrational fear and blowing it up as though it was reality. And so I really think that this movement of staying in the moment is a great movement, because if people can learn to stay right there and not go up into their head and make it a playground for all kinds of fanciful things, but stay right with the situation that's in front of our eyes. What am I faced with? Not what it could be, not thinking where it may go, but staying right with the situation and handling that.
Yeah, that's very interesting. As a lawyer, you know, we're trained, you know, I used to practice law, and we were trained to always look at, you know, what could go wrong, what could go wrong. But if you think like that in your relationships, you're going to see a lot of problems that aren't there. And you know, imagination for humanity, it's one of our strengths, but it's one of our terrible weaknesses too, because we can imagine all kinds of affronts and risks that aren't there.
I agree, and I always tell my clients that going up in your head is the worst place to be. It's the playground that you don't want to be in, because we manifest problems, and we build on what there is, and we make it far worse. So I'm in total agreement with you. But most of the time, we have learned to set goals, to look ahead. And then how do we stay focused? So
yes,
I believe in setting goals, your long-range goals, your middle goals, and your today's goals. And look at what you want for your family. I don't think that we look at goals for our emotional self. People think that emotions just happen. Feelings just come. And I've heard so many people over the years say, well, my father gets angry like that. I mean, that just runs in our family, and I can't do anything about it. And my answer is, no, you can't do anything about it if you think you cannot do anything about it. But look at all the hundreds of thousands of people out there that do not scream and jump up and down, who do not throw ladders or dishes or whatever. They take charge of themselves, and they direct where they want to go with their anger. They have goals for their anger and how to handle their anger, and they have goals for the family. So emotional goals, I think that's kind of a new topic for people, and it's something that I really believe in.
That's a wonderful concept. I love that, goals for emotional self, and in realizing you make choices with reference to your emotional responses, just the way you make choices in whether to eat a second cookie or not. And you can make a decision respecting how you're going to respond to different situations.
Yes.
We're up on a break, Carol Lee, but
okay.
I love your insights, and we will be back with Carol Lee, specialist in anger management and self-esteem, right after this break.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/voiceamerica or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Carol Lee Risk, who is a counselor and director of Development Associates, an educator and speaker on self-esteem and anger management. And we're focused on anger management in the family. And she's already offered us some wonderful insights about how you manage anger starts in your head. It's not outside you. It's about what's going on in your head, and you have control of that. You can direct your thoughts and your feelings. So I wanted to ask Carol Lee, how important is learning new ways to communicate in helping families to deal with anger when it emerges?
I totally agree with you. It's very important. Excuse me. I don't know what's going on here, but I believe that we have 4 or 5 seconds by the time we are feeling the feeling of anger to when we decide to respond. Some people respond, they just react. And they don't even take those 4 or 5 seconds to calm themselves down. But if we were to take the 4 or 5 seconds, go up into our head and say, now calm down, I don't have to take this personally. The feelings change. I often talk about it being like waiting at the bus stop. If you're waiting at the bus stop and you see your bus go by, if you wait a few more minutes, another bus will come. And that's just the way it is with feelings. Just because we have a feeling doesn't mean we have to take an action. And we certainly don't have to react. When my oldest child, who happens to be Jacqueline and a girl, when she was learning to walk, we had a step between our garage and our family room. And I would pull the car in the garage. I would get Jacqueline out of the car. I would get my groceries, and I would walk into the room. Invariably, that step was a little higher than all the other steps. And invariably, I would trip, and I would say, "Oh, damn," and I'd keep on walking. And Jacqueline was holding my hand, and she was walking right next to me. And so you can guess what happened when she started walking on her own. She walked up that one step from the garage into the family room, and this little thing of 2 1/2 said, "Oh, damn," and kept on walking. Behavior is learned, and if we don't take time to stop and think, does it feel good? Do I like how I'm reacting with this anger? Do I like being consumed by fear? Fear that goes into anxiety. Anger that goes into fear. Fear that goes into anger. I ask parents to please, when they get angry, when they think that they're getting angry, look at what they're afraid of. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that your child is not going to be a wonderful success in society? Do you think that your child is going to abandon the family? What do you think is the worst thing that's going to happen? Because that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with your fear, and then you react with anger on your fear. How many times have you, Randy, been in the grocery store? And maybe even that happened to you when your children were little. You're standing there. You're trying to decide which item you're going to buy, and all of a sudden your child is not there. And you walk around looking for your child. Your heart is beating. You're absolutely frightened. And you walk around to another aisle, and there is your child staring at the cereal. And what do most parents do? They go over to the child and say, "Don't walk away from me like that. I don't like it when you do that. You're a bad child." We don't say what we were feeling. We were feeling fear, but we reacted in anger. And so right away, the child is very confused. And we're not really helping the situation.
Yeah, that's a very, very great illustration of how anger can show up, and yet, like you say, it's so confusing for the child when really you're loving the child so much, you're worried about them, and that's what you should be saying, because they don't want to worry you, and if they knew that they were worrying you, they wouldn't have to react to that anger instead.
Right, right, and they probably didn't even know that you left and went around the corner of the aisle because they were busy with the cereal.
Right, they were getting distracted, as little kids do. So what do you do with
I always say, what's more important, your child's feelings or the spilled milk, the water that ran all over the place, the toys that were left on the floor? What's more important in the long run? How important is spilled milk as opposed to your child's feelings, their attachment to you, that attitude that they pick up, the intimacy that you want to grow? And people have to evaluate that.
Exactly. Now, what do you recommend in the situation where I found in my parenting counseling that there'd been a bit of a shift where parents were actually fearful of their children, that they give in easily, they back down if the child expresses real anger. They're like, "Oh, I don't want my child angry at me," and they end up saying no when they would rather not. You know, in their own good judgment, they want to say no, but they give in. To a child who learns that being angry enough scares the parent. And I've even heard of children threatening to go to the police that there's child abuse if the parent doesn't give them what they want. It's really can be a frightening situation.
Yes, that's a new phenomenon these days, where kids actually threaten to call the police or child welfare. My belief is that parents need to have a set of boundaries, that they're not going to go beyond this boundary in their verbiage or in their voice range. It's just like when we walk down the block and we get to a traffic stop, we have to say, all right, I'm going to step off the curb, but I'm not going to walk into the street because the light is red. Someone else may walk down to the same spot as we and say to themselves, oh, I'm going to walk back because I don't want a car to come along and catch me on the curb. We have to set boundaries for ourselves. I will do this. I won't do that. Once parents start threatening children, you set up an adversarial situation, and the child, particularly when they're teenagers, will push and push, because it's one of the times in their life when their aggression sets in. Aggression comes when the kids are about 4 and then 7 and then 11 and then 15. That's full blown. Again, around the age of 22. And we want to try stuff out. And so these children, some children, do threaten their parents. But they're not going to go there unless they've been threatened themselves. And they know that is a tool that the family uses. As you said a few minutes ago, every family has different situations and different problems within the family. But it is a given that every family has problems and situations. So as concerned parents, again, I go back to, we have to have emotional goals in our life. And if we are talking a couple of times a week on how the children are doing and how I'm feeling and do I still feel in charge, or, you know, is something going on with Susie Q that I'm feeling it's getting out of balance, then talking with your spouse, talking with the parent of your child, talking with people that you feel free and comfortable, even going to a counselor or a therapist to get some new tips on how to handle situations. It's a great idea. We need outside influence in our life.
Yes, I found in counseling, I'll never forget the first time a parent said that they didn't realize they had a choice. They always were kind of smart aleck responses to their kids, and as the kids got older, they were confused and resented it and felt like they couldn't communicate. And when the father realized that he actually could choose to say something uplifting and nice to the child, he said, I didn't know I had a choice. I just came up, the first thing that came into my head, I went with it. And that's how he had been raised in his family. Everybody was smart alecking everybody else with put downs. And he didn't know he had a choice. And his wife was just delighted that he finally realized he could say something nice if he chose to.
Right, right. But behavior is so copied. It is so copied. And automatically, it's like putting on an old, comfortable pair of shoes. If we try on a new pair of shoes, oh, they might be a little rough, and, oh, I don't know, my heel might be slipping. But to put on those old, comfortable slippers and shoes, hey, I know how to behave with them. And so for parents to try on new behaviors, it's difficult. It's asking a lot. But they'll be so proud of themselves, and they'll feel so much closer to each other and their children when they try something new.
Yeah, it gives everybody more options. We're up on another break, Carolee, but I can't wait to get back and talk about how parents can model good behaviors for managing anger. And so please, listeners, stay tuned.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iRadioBlog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking about anger management in the family with Carol Lee Risk, who is Director of Development Associates and has been helping people for over 25 years from all different backgrounds to build their self-esteem, to understand what's going on in their heads, and to manage anger. And so we're talking about anger management in the family, and she's offered some wonderful insights. Particularly, I'd like to hear more about the creative management of anger through how our thoughts relate to our feelings and our actions and our interactions. Can you expound on that, Carol Lee,
please? Sure, Randy. It's one of my favorite topics, so thanks for asking.
Great.
We have power over ourselves. We have power over the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act, and the way we react. So if we are losing friends, if we are not getting along well in the family, if we are not happy at work, not happy at home, we need to look at us. We need to look at the way we are thinking about the situation, because we can be our own worst enemies. The way you think triggers the way you feel, triggers the way you think, triggers the way you interact. There are many situations that we have no control over, particularly as children. And so, when we see our child losing some power in their life, we have to think of a way of empowering them. Sometimes it's with after-school sports, sometimes music lessons, maybe a hiking club, maybe an organization not connected to school so that they are meeting other friends, maybe through the synagogue or through church. But changing the faces and the places and the things. I remember when my son was in fourth grade, he always loved going to school. Couldn't wait to go, was up in the morning, whistling, singing, got himself dressed, ate breakfast, went to the school bus stop, and he would come home just as happy as he left in the morning. And I thought, oh boy, this is a breeze. Well, he hit fourth grade. And he had a very demanding teacher who had no leeway. She was not flexible at all. It was her way or no way. And Tior was getting very unhappy at school and would come home, and every afternoon he would tell me how he hated school and he hated this particular teacher and he wasn't going back and nobody could make him, and he was going to stay home the next day. But fortunately, every day he got up and he went to school, and I went in and I talked to the teacher, and she said, oh, no, you know, TR stands in line, but he always has a foot or a finger wiggling, and I just can't have that. My children have to be like little soldiers. So I realized that I was going to get no place with her, and I came back home and thought and thought. And when TR came in from school that afternoon, it was, well, his grades were going down. He really was unhappy. He didn't want to go out and play with his friends. So this one afternoon when he came in, he said, Mom, you can't make me go back to school. I absolutely hate it. So I said to him, okay, all right, I understand that you hate school. I said, what I'd like you to do, and I gave the gift of God to a 10-year-old child, and I said, go into the garage and get the basketball and go out into our backyard, and every time you kick the ball, say, oh, damn Miss What's-Her-Name. And he looked at me and he said, I can say that? And I said, yes, you can. And, you know, we live on like an acre and a half, and there wasn't anyone around to hear him, and it was just me. And so he went out and he started kicking this basketball, and his friends in the neighborhood came over 10 or 15 minutes later, and he got on his bike, and he went riding off. And this happened every afternoon for the next 2 or 3 weeks. He would run home, get the basketball, and I don't know if it was the joy of kicking the ball or cursing, but, you know, it worked. He was not miserable, and I wasn't getting little love notes from the teacher, and everything seemed to be really, you know, working well. And one day he said to me, Mom, come out and see what I can do. And he taught himself how to kick the soccer ball about 60 feet away from our little narrow garage door. And he perfected the kick through the garage door. We signed him up for soccer. He got a soccer scholarship to college. And now his son is playing soccer, and he teaches soccer, and he teaches softball, and he has a wonderful, wonderful tool that he took with him for his life on what to do when you are feeling hurt and angry, because anger is hurt, and she hurt him, and I couldn't let that happen. So when we get into situations, we need to do two things with anger. One, we need to talk to somebody that we really trust. And he knew that he could talk to me. He would jump up on the counter and sit there while I was peeling my potatoes, and I listened to him. And then we have to do something physical to get it out of us. Run around the block, clean the house, you know, go into the office and finish that report. We need to do something physical. Write a letter, keep a diary, keep a journal. Do something physical to get it out of you and talk to someone. Preferably talk to the person with whom you are feeling disgruntled with. But when that is not possible, then talk to someone who you know cares about your feelings.
That's great advice. That physical, it really, like you said, it's so empowering to, okay, you can't control that person who's making you angry, but you can go do something else. You can rearrange your room. You can learn to play soccer. You can do something that physically expresses your power, and that empowers you to move on beyond that immediate fearful feeling of being angry. That's a wonderful story, and it's amazing that anger management led to a career.
Right.
Great story.
And that was the beginnings, because then I just kept building on that and how it influenced my family and our lives, and it was amazing. And of course, you know, now I'd like to know where this teacher is, because I would like to say to her, hey, you did us such a favor.
Yes, yes. You didn't like the the wiggling, and now he's a soccer teacher. That's great.
Yes, yes, and he came out of college building furniture. So he's always moving now.
Oh, that's great. Yep. Can you share another story from your work with juveniles in the criminal justice system, because I hear you've been very successful in preventing recidivism, people returning to jail for anger-based criminal activity. So can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Oh, yes. That's one of the prides of my life. For the last 3 years, I've been working with parolees. And most of the guys, it's not juveniles, unfortunately, or fortunately, because these guys are fabulous. They're anywhere from 18 to 35, 40 are the average ages. But, you know, I had a fella 61, 65.
Wow.
Overall, cross economics, colors, religions, creeds of life. There's just not a group. And I found out two things. One, that most of the people who have committed serious crimes, and these guys, you know, held up banks with guns, and the one fellow I'm going to tell you about is a drug dealer with 200 guys working under him. One, they had no connection to their parents. Their parents may have been at home, but they were not connected. As soon as someone starts hitting their children, it breaks the intimacy that could have been bonded with the child. And so hurt people.
Mm.
And 99% of these guys were hurt people without a bonding. And they also, let's say 50% of them, committed their crimes, and serious crimes they committed under the use of alcohol. Not particularly drugs, but alcohol. So, I still hear from some of the guys from 3 years ago. I mean, they're doing well in their life. They're serious about recovery. But what I did with them and what we did with each other, because I got so much from them, is my heart touched their heart. I would tell them that I would not tell the parole officers anything that they told me in confidence. And they're not used to a therapist or a counselor most of the time being pro them. Many times working in the drug and alcohol field, I found counselors that just couldn't wait to get a piece of information to call the parole officer or the probation officer and turn them in, so to speak.
Oh, my. We're up on another break, Carolee.
Okay.
So let's come back to that story about the parolee.
Sure.
This is such valuable information that even the most serious, troubled people can learn to manage their strong emotions.
Absolutely.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun?
Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First, and we're talking about anger management in the family with Carol Lee Risk, who is Director of Development Associates and has been helping people, individuals and families for over 25 years to manage anger and deal with their emotions and change the way they think and realize they always have choices in responding to the emotions that they feel in the moment. And we were just talking about some fascinating work she's been doing with parolees, parolees from very serious crimes, but she finds out that two things are in common. One, that they had very little connection with their parents. Maybe there was brutality in the home. And also that they're often under the influence of alcohol and need to get into recovery, which brings up self-esteem and anger management. So you were about to tell a story of one of your parolees. And
I would
can
like
you
to.
Go on with
yeah.
that.
One of the fellas, he was about 28, and he was in my very first class. And quite honestly, I was not prepared to work with parolees. I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I getting myself into? But I was asked to do it, and I came well-recommended, and I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. What's the worst thing that could happen? So I was doing the class, and this fella, Rich was his name and is his name, and he had 200 dealers working under him, and every night he went around and he collected money from 200 dealers. And he did this for 5 years, and then one of the dealers turned him in. And that's usually what happens in that world of drugs. Anyway,
yes.
So he came to class, and he had two children, and he had a girlfriend, and he said he planned on marrying the girlfriend someday. But it was a struggle, and he was very frustrated with the fact that he was working at a fast food place making $7.25 an hour when he made thousands every night when he was dealing drugs. But
right.
he didn't want to deal drugs anymore because he didn't like spending all those years in prison. Now, while he was in prison, his sister came to him and she said, the part I didn't tell you was before he went to prison, he gave all this stash of money that he had to his younger sister because it was the only person in the family that he trusted. And he said, please, you know, I don't want the authorities to take my money. Please keep it for me. So she came to him while he was in prison and she said, you know, I think I want to go to Temple. Could I use some of what you gave me? And he said, yes, but if you go to Temple, I want you to graduate. My money just can't be spent idly. And she said, oh, I'll use your money wise and I will go. So she went and she graduated. And then she came to him and she said, do you think I could use some of your money to go to medical school? And he said, medical school? She said, yes, I'm really good with the sciences. And my teachers think that I could be a really good doctor. And he said, yes. As long as you use it and you start medical school and you finish it. And so when he was getting out of prison, she was getting out of medical school. She now works for Jeff. And she continued to get the family moved out of Philadelphia and into the suburbs where it was a little safer. Rich always said to me, Carolee, you know, as from the time I was 2 years old and could stand on my tippy toes and look out the window, I would see nothing but drug deals going on. And he said, so what do you think I thought I was going to be when I grew up? He said, I didn't think I could be anything other than a drug dealer. And I said, Rich, you're so smart. You're so intelligent. And he looked at me and he said, nobody's ever used those words in connection with me before. And I said, but Rich, you are. You are. And I showed him how collecting all this money every night from his drug dealers. And I told him he was an entrepreneur and he was very clever and very smart. And all of a sudden, you could see him sitting up straighter in class. And one day he wasn't in class and I was really concerned. And I heard this commotion going on out in the hallway, and one of the parole officers said, no, no, you can't go into that class late. And he said, yes, just tell Carolee it's me. Just tell her. So I went out and I got him, and he said, Carolee, my car broke down and I had to run 2 miles to get here. So, of course, I let him in. And so he was still working at his job as fast food place, and he came in the next week and he said, do you parole is going to send me back to prison? And I said, no, I don't think so. He said, well, there are these two guys that can keep coming into my job every night, and they are looking at me and scrutinizing me. And he said, there are two big white guys with briefcases, and I don't know what they want. So I said, well, let's change the thinking in your head. Let's change it to they want something very positive, and they are admiring the work that you're doing. And he laughed and laughed, and he said, yeah, that'll be the day. I said, no, that's what I want you to think of in your head. That's the power position I want you to take. And so he said, okay, I will. And a couple weeks later, he came running in, and he said, oh, my gosh. He said, if anybody had ever told me I'd have a white woman running around in my head, I would have told them they were nuts. He said, but I have this little white woman running around in my head telling me you can do it. They only want positive for you. He said, well, Carolee, he said, they called me in, and they were recruiters for the company that he was working for, the fast food company, and asked me if I wanted to go into management training. And I said, what did you say? And he said, of course, I said yes. And he said, this little white woman in my head was just smiling from ear to ear.
Oh, that's a wonderful story.
Yes,
we just have a few more minutes left, Carolee, but that's a great story.
He owns a KFC in Washington.
Oh, that's great. Wow.
Yeah.
This is a great, it really illustrates that even people we think are just completely gone as far as human compassion and intelligence, emotional intelligence can turn around with the kind of support you give. So I want to make sure people have your contact information, and then I have a couple more questions. But can you tell people how they can get in touch with you, get to your blog, and have questions answered? I think you have a special service by telephone. Can you give that information, Carolee?
Well, I do have Ask Carolee, and people can email me, or they can look at my blog. My blog is Women of Emergence, EMERGENCE, .blogspot, .spot, .com.
Okay,
and my email is Carolee, Carolee, Carolee Risk, @Verizon.com. Net.
Okay, that's Carolee Risk with RISK.
Correct.
At Verizon.net, and Women of Emergence at blogspot.com. So that's great. People can reach you that way. And I just to close, I just like to get your quick comment on the pitch of anger in the public domain, especially kids that take their resentments and anger onto the internet. Can you, in 30 seconds, give a response about that?
Randy, I can. And it goes back to the two words, hurt people, hurt people. So the people that are on the internet making horrible comments are really hurting. And that's what we have to look at. That if we felt good about ourselves, we would not try to hurt other people. It's only hurt people who try to hurt other people.
That's such a powerful thought, and we'll end on that note. Carolee, thank you so much for all your work and helping people from all backgrounds and all ages and all family situations. So thank you for sharing your wonderful insights, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Well, thank you so much. It was just such a privilege to work with you this afternoon. Thank you, Randy.
You're very welcome. Take care now.
Bye.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.